Thank you, Mayor, and good morning again, ladies and gentlemen. So I'd like to go through our Cambodia presentation on the status of the aqua feed and feed ingredients in sustainable development of aquaculture in Cambodia. Of course, Cambodia aquaculture is just kind of a starting point, and we are try to promote aquaculture to ensure that the bridging the gap between the capture fishery that are under the process of declining or steadily declining. So that's why our government and so we development partner are pushing forward to promote and develop aquaculture development and research and education and extension. So my presentation is to go through this five area of my talk, and then just to show a little bit of Cambodia. I know we are the ASEAN country, and I'm sure, but maybe our colleague from other countries is not in ASEAN, not know where is Cambodia is. So we are in the middle of Thailand and Vietnam, and our fishery still contribute to gross domestic product still quite high, of course, but now because of the climate change and also the hydropower dams in the upstream Mekong, the status of fishery contribution to our national economy will be totally changed. So of course fish still is the most consumed in Cambodia after rice. You can see in our rural people that they like to eat fish in sort of forms in terms of fish sauce or in terms of fish paste and fermented fish and dry fish, whatever you name it, and also fresh fish. Here I give you some overview over how the production is being changed, and also you see that the capture fishery is mainly now trying to sustain at 500,000 tons. That's where we can do the best, if we can keep that, where Cambodia can hope for. And then so the major production will be coming from aquaculture. That's in our National Strategic Development Plan for Aquaculture 2016-2030 that already approved by our ministry, we aim to increase our aquaculture production by 15-20% per year. So this is a lot of work and a burden to the aquaculture groups to ensure that we can increase that production every 15-20% per year. And then you see also the marine capture fishery is not that increasing that much, but because of also the data collection are not also not representing that so well, because a lot of IUU fishing involving that currently. The EU and the Royal Government of Cambodia, Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry and Fishery is working hard on this to lift Cambodia from the red card on the IUU fishing because of the Cambodian flag being used by the other foreign vessel. So our picture of aquaculture feed production and use in Cambodia. Mainly, they are various using on-farm and waste imports and domestic waste and low-value freshwater and marine fish is the major use of the low and of course some people say trash fish, but they're not trash fish. They are low and value and low-value small fish that are being used. And then the most it's a local species that being cultured. That's you see the Pongasius halpertambus, and very famous in Vietnam. You can see that's number one in the world. And then also the two types of snakehead, the China strata and China microleptis, that being now lifted, but the government already lifted the ban to allow the farming of these two snakehead species. Of course, there's a lot of debate over the past 10 years whether they should be lifted the ban on these two species, because they are using a lot of trash fish or small value fish. So but recently in 2016, the government decided to lift the ban over these two species. And of course then for the Pongasius species, they still use this low value fish and rice bran. So they still cook with the rice bran and use the fermented fish. And then they cook with the rice bran and then corn and some veggie and mix with the fermented low-value fish or fermented slaughter vessels. So this that but the you can see the FCR is very high, and then they had to use a lot of low value fish to during the high season of the we call the dive fishery or the stationary trawl. I go through later on what is a dive fishery or the stationary trawl later on. And for the snakehead, you see they use this the thrush low value thrush fish from freshwater, also from marine thrush fish as well, and also a lot of illegal fishing using the fine mesh net or that's we are creating the destruction over the fishery resources. And of course, we have a lot of attempt to crack down all illegal fishing over the use of this small freshwater thrush fish. For the snakehead, we used to depend on the wild catch of our fingerlings. But I think the reason recent years, our wild fingerlings no longer provide enough for aquaculture. So most of the fingerlings are imported from Vietnam. And then because Vietnam has been doing this for 20 years for the breeding selection of the both type of snakehead and the China strata and giant snakehead. And then the indigenous exotic species is, I think, most commonly practices in our ASEAN country and also in the region, Asia-Pacific. But of course, only the hybrid catfish become and tilapia are the most have a higher production compared to the carp, Chinese carp and Indian carp, and they are not so much production at the moment. Yep. So the pond aquaculture system, they still you can see that still dominating the freshwater aquaculture in Cambodia. And then for the small scale, still practices through the development program and development projects. So very extensive, and using rice brands, termites, and duckweed and morning glory and rice wine west. So this still practices in rural Cambodia, far from the main river or a main lake. For the marine, also marine aquaculture is still small, and mostly they are accounting for around 10% of the total aquaculture production in Cambodia. And mostly they do cage and ponds. So you can see that sea bass, that's so far that all we can produce our fingerlings in the Marine Aquaculture Research Center, and where we use the farmers also using the thrush fish, marine thrush fish, for feeding the sea bass. And also we also promoting the use of the pellets, and that are imported from the French company imported from Vietnam, the In Vivo, that they have these pellets. And then the cobia and groupers, mostly they are all use the marine thrush fish for feeding them. And then the tiger shrimp, and mostly tiger shrimp are very extensive and very small amount at not yet growing in Cambodia. And then we have a mud crab that are quite growing now, and because of they still collecting the wild mud crab, the crablet from the wild, from the mangrove. And also many of these crablets being also illegally imported to the neighboring country, especially to Vietnam as well. And then we also do have some black cocoa farmings in the coastal of Cambodia. It's a black cocoa farming, and also it's a green mussel as well. So for our government policy and strategy and regulation toward aquaculture feed production and use, we recently, as I told you, that we developed the National Aquaculture Development Strategy for Cambodia 2016-2030. That's where we have seven objectives to be addressed. Then one of them is to ensure widespread availability of sustainably sourced, reasonably priced, high quality feed suitable for a range of species. This where we are developing, and then we are addressing. And then I tell you this now, some experience in improving aquaculture feed production and utilization in Cambodia. through the Aquafish of the USAID and with the various university in America, and Cantor University and the Inland Fishery Research, Freshwater Inland Fishery Research Institute, and also the Freshwater Aquaculture Research Center. So they are, at the moment, they confirm that they can replace the fish meal using the soybean meal, but to win the fry and fingerling of the snake and the China strata, the snake China strata species. And then this is where we conducted our research for grow out after the breeding selection and winning at Freshwater Fishery Research, Freshwater Aquaculture Research Center. You can see that there are different. This is the different China strata from Tonle Sap region, from the Mekong, and then this from the that research center itself, and then this from Vietnam. You can see Vietnam, they have been doing this now. They have around 20 years old, so they have around maybe the 820 or 890 or more than 10 years or nearly 20 years. And then this just F2, second year generation. So they can take the pellets, but the grow, the Vietnamese strain grow very fast compared to the one that we are trying to breed with the our indigenous strain. Of course, we take more years, another few generations, to find out how they are grow, how they perform, taking the pellets also, taking the pellets. This is one of our master student doing that research. And then we also having one PhD student currently working with one of the university in Vietnam and the Swedish Agricultural University, conducting that research using the brewery yeast to replace the fish meal and for the sea bass, Lete Kalakalka River. And at the moment, the result, so quite a good result. The growth of the fish quite good, but they haven't concluded yet. So they will have another experiment to confirm the first experiment, so ongoing. Because of course we have a lot of beers brands in Cambodia, so if we can use this yeast to replace the fish meal, will be a fantastic news for the aquaculture industry. And of course they are much cheaper than the fish meal. And then since I told you that we still depend on the low value fish, that they store during the high season of the catch of the low value fish, normally through the dye fishery. I show you dye fishery later on. This is the dye fishery. You can see it's called stationary trawl, where along the Tonle Sap River, and then where the many migratory species, more than 100 species, they are migrating back to the Mekong from Tonle Sap River, also from the Great Lake, Tonle Sap Great Lake, to the Mekong River. Then they have done this for around 140 years now, catching this small migratory fish. You can see when the high catch like this, the peak, the full moon time, only operation in November, December, January and February, and most time can be too much, only that few months, and then they close because there's no more, the waters stop flowing back from the Tonle Sap, from the Tonle Sap River or from the Great Lake, so they stop. So see, if they are high catch like this, they cannot lift the back net. They have to cut and break out to allow this fish getting out. Otherwise, it will be, you cannot lift, it will be broken. Yeah, so that's why when you're high catch. But it's not that much as compared before, last 10 years, because of the over fishing and pressure over that. But this is to show you how the dye fishery play an important role in the Cambodian livelihood as well. Now I go back to this one. See how they make the process of the we call fermented fish during the high catch up from the dye fishery or stationary trawl. So they keep the fish. They keep the fish 20%, and then they put the rice bran 20% until they're full. And then they put some salt, and then they can keep it as fermented fish. They have a lot of small value fish. When they don't have much, so they use this fermented trash fish, and then they cook it with rice bran, with the fresh rice bran. 70% and they feed to the pangas, yes, and then also the some carp species as well. So, but this kind of practice is being not so good because of the using this small value fish in not appropriate to the species, high value species, we should feeding to them, but we should not feeding to the carp or the pangas, yes, because they are require low protein. Why are we wasting our low value fish to feeding this carp species and then catfish that are requiring less protein? So that's why later on I will tell you how we approach them. So this, through the our Jaiga project, we try to send this sample to Japan and analyze it. You see the 2 years fermentation in 4 months, and then and also and 4 years and 3 years, you can see, and then after that the result, and this is how they process it, and then you can see the result from the lab in Japan. That's for the moisture content, this in the form of moisture, and then the crude protein, the crude lipid is this one is less, and then but this one crude protein they also not so high, but this one is around 20% protein. Still, this is 4 months old. They're quite good. They still the protein they can maintain. But for the dry bass, so the crude protein quite high for the also the 4 months old. But the crude lipid is quite high here. You can see all among the sample we analyzed. So here I see that there are many challenges that the way we practice to use a low value fish, if that's so far we receive we catch around only 30,000 to 45,000 tons, and then annually, yep. And also the record on the low value fish being used for livestock in Cambodia and also export to Vietnam and Thailand, also not well recorded because it's controlled by the private sector that mostly, and then our researcher, our the fishery administration not doing so good on collecting all this data. And then so this one also we haven't done that much on the use of fish meal and plant protein sources and fish oil. And also the current the EU program that the catfish aqua, that what we're trying to address is that one of the result is a feed supply, and we will address like what Bangladesh has been doing. We will, through this program in the next 6 year, we will address on the feed ad that for Cambodian aquaculture that we want to produce, and also we will conduct a lot of different research for aqua feed in Cambodia, and also we will also do the monitoring and control over the fish import from different company. Like so far we have around 6 company that importing aqua feed from Vietnam, like Green Feed, Lee Hong Choi, Dihers, In Vivo as well, and CP also in, presented in Cambodia. But our limitation in terms of trying to monitor and provide support to them, not just there. So that is through the next year program with the EU program, we will going to do that. Thank you. So this is what we're going to do on the next year program for aqua feed and feed ingredient in Cambodia. Thank you.